up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Continuing our NFL previews this week, we are on the AFC South. We are doing the Tennessee Titans today. Teresa Walker will join us coming up next hour from the Associated Press in Nashville to talk about a rather, I hate to use this term, but rather a vanilla football team. It's a 7-9, 8-8, 9-7 football team. That's about it. But because they will win games and not be a bottom feeder in the AFC South, they're good enough to win games. They do create a problem because it's a division that there are no bottom feeders, right? If you think Nick Foles is going to be bettering the Jaguars, then we've got all of these teams in a somewhat competitive mode for the AFC South. That includes the Tennessee Titans. There's not a whole lot to be jumping up and down super excited about, but there's not a lot of stuff to go, well, this is a lost cause and a lost season. Right? They are kind of in the no man's land a little bit, right? They're not, you look at them and they don't look like a 13 win team. They don't look like a 12 win team. But you know what? They also don't look like a 2-win team either, or a 3-win team either. So they're in this middle of the road where you kind of think Jacksonville will probably be, you think the Texans will be better than that. You think the Colts, if Andrew Luck is healthy, will be better than that, but it's a division that can create some issues. So we'll get into the Tennessee Titans today. What is there to like Derrick Henry, who returned to practice yesterday. He had been out 3 weeks with a calf injury. And Marcus Mariota, who, like Jameis Winston, when they were drafted at the same time, is going through those kind of, is he or isn't he our franchise quarterback going forward? There's still a lot of issues with Marcus Mariota that have not been completely resolved in a number of years that he's been in the league. You don't feel like the team is in completely good hands, but he's done enough good things to make you not be immediately looking for a new guy. All right, coming up, Jerry Jones's comments on Ezekiel Elliott. Were they disrespectful? And was it a good look for Jones to make the comment? I'll tell you what he said, what it means, why Zeke is upset. Next, it's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
Kane is in the building next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. All right, so Jerry Jones, Ezekiel Elliott's holding out. We all know that. It's been out the 3 weeks, whatever, looking for a new contract. So Jerry Jones, they went to Hawaii. They played the Rams. Tony Pollard, a running back for the Cowboys, had a pretty good game. Right. And so they asked Jerry Jones about this, you know, hey, what did you think of Pollard's performance? And Jerry Jones had this thought.
Is Pollard your best negotiator with Zeke?
Who?
Pollard.
Yeah. No, Zeke who?
He's got you on camera.
Oh, boy. So he said,
Laugh it up.
Zeke who? Oh, yeah, Zeke who? Right. All right, we had a great, Tony Pollard was great, man, Zeke who? All right, so obviously Ezekiel Elliott doesn't like this, his agent doesn't like this, they did not think it was funny, they thought it was completely disrespectful. Now, let me say this, first of all, I think it's a bad look for Jerry Jones. I think Jerry Jones did not need to do this, and I wish he didn't do this. I know he's trying to play the game, right, the negotiation game. Elliott is in Kabul working out, but Elliott doesn't really have any real leverage here other than hoping that the Cowboys are terrible if he doesn't play any regular season games. That's really the only leverage he has. He's not holding out like Le'Veon Bell because there's a franchise tag and he knows he could be let go at, you know, and be free of this at the end of the season. He's still under contract for this year, next year, and they can franchise tag him for year three. So the only leverage that he has is not playing football at all and hoping that the Cowboys are struggling enough without him that they'd want him back as quickly as possible. And that brings both sides to the table. But here's the other problem with this is why it's not a good look for Jones. Jones has been talking about the young core of this Cowboys team and how he'd love to lock them all up, right? Dak Prescott gets a new deal. Amari Cooper gets a new deal. Ezekiel Elliott gets a new deal. This is going to be the young big three of the offense that he had before with Smith, Irvin, and Aikman that he wants again. He wants to recreate that again. I don't think this is a good look for a guy that's trying to do that when you're disrespecting a running back because in a preseason game, somebody else is performing well. I know it's a joke. He doesn't mean that Tony Pollard is all, you know, so awesome that you can forget about Ezekiel Elliott. As a matter of fact, he sort of clarified it that he was thinking, oh, how great it would be if Pollard and Elliott were in the backfield, right? He's trying to spin it a little bit. I think this was a joke. I think it's a bad joke. It's not without precedent, all right? Chuck Knoll famously one time said about Franco Harris, Franco who, when Franco Harris was holding out. So it has a little bit of history. But I just think it's a bad look for Jones.
Oh, it's a definitely bad look. I mean, I can see where Jerry Jones, what he was probably trying to do was just sit there and go, you know what? Let's focus on Pollard. Zeke who?
Right.
You know, Pollard was outstanding tonight. But I mean, it just bad timing. I mean, that would have been a perfect joke had Zeke just been, you know, we sat out Zeke because it is a preseason game.
Right. Perfectly. Right.
And then you could get totally away from it. It's like, just know that, you know, there's no ill will. You know, we're just, you know, Zeke is our guy. No reason to play him in a preseason game.
And again, if you wanted to make this joke without the same sort of reverence that you had for Ezekiel Elliott, I get that. Meaning if you really don't, you know, if you're at a point where you're like, this is ridiculous, who does Ezekiel think he is? And you were consistent in that kind of conversation, then I think you could make this joke and be like, I don't care if he thinks it's disrespectful or not. I think it's disrespectful he's not showing up to work. Right. But that's not really where Jones had been going. The Cowboys as a team have kind of said, well, OK, we understand. We get it. I want to give him a contract. I want to lock these guys up. We think a deal is going to get done. Right. Those are the things that are said. Now, I know Jones knows how he's playing this game publicly. He doesn't want to appear desperate in public. And I completely understand that. But here's the other thing, too. I think if you're a billionaire, not having that kind of experience, I think you rarely in your life, once you've reached that point, have ever said you're sorry. I don't think you say you're sorry. I just think you just go, now what are you going to do? I'm a billionaire, for crying out loud. But I think in this case, if I'm Jones, I would reach out to Ezekiel Elliott and apologize and then say, look, it doesn't mean we're going to change our negotiating status. This is what we're going to be doing. I know you need to be doing that, but I want you as a Cowboy, and I want you to love being a Cowboy as much as I love you wanting to be a Cowboy. And I don't need you to feel as if I've come across in any way. I doubt that'll happen because billionaires don't really apologize to anybody, but I just think it's a bad look for Jones here. I just don't like, if you're trying to convince these three guys that these are the three guys, and boy, money, you know, money certainly can make a lot of problems go away. I just think you keep your eye on the prize, which is locking up these three young stars.
I think the only way to make up for this now, sign him. Give him what he wants.
Sit him down and get the deal done. But, I mean, what is going on? I mean, I feel like we've been talking about that. Yeah, they're going to get this done soon. Does he really want to go into the season without Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield?
Apparently.
It's not tomorrow, but it's not 5 weeks from now. I mean, we're kind of getting close. And if I'm Dallas, I'd be really trying to figure this out.
No, I mean, you know, listen, I look at the Chargers situation. They're in the same boat.
They're still
without their main guy, Gordon. And at least with the Chargers, looks like they do have a contingency plan with Eckler. But, I mean, if you're the Cowboys, you're going to run Alfred Morris out there?
Yeah, I know,
and
right?
We know what Alfred Morris brings to the table. We've seen it.
Yeah. It's not.
I don't know. I don't get with this. And I mean, in a joke like this, Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, he's definitely going to stick to his guns now. I don't even know if he'll feel comfortable coming back to the team where he feels, I mean, because he came straight out and says, you know, felt totally disrespected by those comments by his boss to say
that. Exactly. That's why I think Jones needs to reach out and say, all right, man, I was just having a little fun. I probably yep. shouldn't have done it.
But
probably
let's the work first time this out. Let's get on forever. The phone. Let's sit across each other at a table. I'll come down to Cabo. I mean, you know, Jones can just
let's
jump
iron
on
this out.
Jones can just jump on a plane and go, yeah, I'll hang out with in Cabo with you. Why not? Let's do this over a few drinks and see what happens.
And remember, Jones is the one, and the organization is the one that has been publicly stating that they want all three guys signed. So it's not like Elliott's forcing Jones to do something Jones didn't really want to do in the first place. This isn't like Le'Veon Bell, where the Steelers were like, you know what? This isn't
anything.
Like, we don't need it. We don't want it. We know how valuable he can be, but it's too much of a headache. We've offered a good deal. He's turned it down. We're not overpaying for that position. You know, we franchise tag you. You don't want to play, then don't play. But we're not going to give you the long-term guaranteed money. That's just not the way we do business. That's not the same. Jones has said publicly he wants to lock up these guys. And then the moment there is a situation where a running back plays really well in a preseason game, he's throwing a disrespect at one of the guys he has said is very valuable to his future plans. He knows the window to win a Super Bowl is narrowing, right? These guys are young, but at the same time, you know, you gotta strike while the iron's hot. If you think Ezekiel Elliott at a Pro Bowl level helps your offense, then get it done. You don't go jumping up and down about a Tony Pollard in Hawaii playing against a Rams football team in the second preseason game of the year and make a joke about Ezekiel Elliott. Unless, of course, you've had the history of saying, I think Ezekiel Elliott is insane for going to Cabo. I think he's crazy. He has no leverage here, and we expect him to work.
Not only that, but, I mean, I understand you want to get this taken care of. You want to get this done. Whatever happened to just sitting in a room saying, you know what, let's just hash this out.
Right.
I mean, this seems to, like, carry on for weeks at a time. And, dude, like, you almost get the feeling that they're only spending, like, 10 minutes a day on it.
Yeah.
They look at it and go, okay, how can we make these numbers work? Well, we got this and this and this. Well, we can't do it. Let's reconvene and do it tomorrow.
I saw this little bit of detail on Elliott's thing. He says he is yet to report to camp. He's subject to fines of more than $900,000. It's almost $1 million in fines? For not reporting to training camp. You better know what you're doing. You better figure this out. But I can only imagine how disrespectful that feels. Listen, I know these guys make a lot of money, but I don't care. Money you don't have to pay still hurts, right? $900,000 in fines for a principal, right? Elliott knows, look, this is what I want. I feel like I deserve it. When you hear the owner say that, plus you're dealing with a $900,000 fine, and you feel like the owner doesn't really feel like he needs you now? Like, this has got to, it's got to put his head in a tailspin. Maybe that's what Jones was trying to do, but I don't know. I just think, get it done. You want these three guys. You've said you want these three guys. You're not breaking the bank. You're not putting your team in an awful disadvantaged situation. I mean, we talked to our Cowboys insider. He said this deal is likely to get done soon. Well, it's August 20th, and there doesn't seem to be any movement. So, but I don't know, if I'm Jones, I'd probably reach out and say, yeah, all right, I went a little overboard. I may not apologize, but I went a little overboard.
And just figure it out. This is amazing that these things just keep carrying on and on and on for as long as they do.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Because especially when, and again, I go back to the Steelers situation because I think it's kind of the anti this, right? The Steelers made a point to Le'Veon Bell of saying, we are not doing these things, right? This is the deal we offer, right? This is not meeting your demands, but this is the best we're going to do, and we're sticking by it. And Le'Veon Bell made the decision to say, well, that's not good enough. I'm not taking that, and I'm not taking the franchise tag. And the Steelers said, good, but we're not negotiating, but that's it. And Bell sat out, and then he got free, and now is with the Jets. In Ezekiel Elliott's case, he doesn't have that leverage of being able to get free, but he has an owner that has publicly said he wants him. So I don't understand what the holdup is, right? Elliott wants a new deal that Jones wants to give him anyway. Now, it may be money. I get it. It's a matter of dollars, but that is how you sit out. This is not a larger principal issue than that. It's not the Cowboys going, holy cow, he wants a 15-year contract guaranteed. It's not that. It is, I want to be extended. I want to have some guaranteed money. I want to cash in at this position that I can't usually cash in on. And Jones has agreed to the idea, or at least in principle, the idea of signing him to such a deal. Work out the dollars, work out the figures, and get him on the team. This isn't Jones saying Elliott's being unreasonable that he wants this, even though I can find other people to run the football. He's not that good. Jones is saying he's valuable. He's a Pro Bowler. He's extremely important, and I want to sign him. So then sign him. Figure it out. Come to the table. Negotiate. I can't believe it's August 20th and they haven't negotiated some deal. And again, what does where's Elliott's leverage? Elliott's leverage is in the hope that Dallas doesn't play well with it just is terrible out of the gate without him, and Jones panics. And Jones knows that because Elliott can't go anywhere. He can't go anywhere this year, can't go anywhere next year. There's no future. There's no free agent future in the immediate horizon for Ezekiel Elliott. He's hoping the Cowboys absolutely stink without him, and that's it. But it may have been funny at the time, but I think it was a disrespectful poke at Ezekiel Elliott. And here's the other part. The massive laughing that went on after that, that would burn me up. I think I would burn me up. It is cracking a joke at Zeke's expense. It really is. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Again, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. We like to call the program 800-224-2004 as we continue to look at the NFL preseason slate. And by the way, college football, the rankings came out. We'll tell you what and what's important, if anything, about that coming up next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Surprise, surprise, the AP poll was released on Monday, and guess what? The exact same top 10 as the coaches poll. It's like they didn't even go to work. Clemson number one, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State are in your top five. LSU is at six, same as the coaches. Michigan, Florida, Notre Dame, and Texas. Oh, it gets a little more like Oregon is 11th when they're 13th in the coaches. And then it sort of separates a little bit. But the top 10, exactly the same. If I'm an AP voter, that's probably what I would do. I just go, what do the coaches think or the SIDs think? I'll just write, just copy them. Or maybe they think this is what it is.
You don't have time to research.
Oh, what are you doing? Phil Steele's college football book is big.
Yeah, just look at that. It's like, where is he at? Well, okay, that's good. This. That works for me.
I don't got this.
Preseason, who cares?
Yeah. Florida, ranked eighth, will be taking on Miami this weekend. And Miami was not ranked. They are the others receiving votes category. So Florida that's going to be an interesting game in Orlando coming up on Saturday. I think Florida wins. I like Florida a lot. I mean, I don't like Florida, but I like Florida a lot. As a objective journalist, I like the Gators. Defense and offense is sparked by Felipe Franks, who played great latter part of last year. Clemson got 52 first place votes and Alabama got 10. So, but here's the interesting thing, and this has been pointed out. Now, again, rankings are marketing tools. That's all they are. But if you're Alabama, okay, you start off by playing, well, let's look at your first eight games of the season, right? According to the rankings, now these will all change, right? Alabama will play, as of right now, one team that is ranked in the top 25 in the first seven games of the season. And that'll be Texas A&M in October. But they close out with games against LSU and Auburn, And Mississippi State is really not that far outside of the top 25. That's a tough way to close it. Plus, they'll have a conference game, championship game, if they were to make it that far, against a team like Georgia that'll be in the top five or top six or, you know, wherever Georgia will be, or Florida. Either one will be in the top 10 easily. Clemson, on the other hand, now get a little of this. Now, Clemson, on the other hand, is more strong at the front part of their schedule based on the early preseason rankings because Clemson will take on Texas A&M in week two. That is a September 9th game at home. And then they play Syracuse at the Carrier Dome, and Syracuse is ranked 22nd and a team that gave them fits last year. All right, but they close out against rather weak opponents. Their November schedule is against Wofford, North Carolina State, Wake Forest, and South Carolina, which will not be in the top 25 by the time they play them, and likely to play a Coastal Division opponent that is maybe ranked, but may not be ranked. They could be facing Pitt. Right, they could be facing Miami, who could have the Coastal as a is kind of like a same thing we talk about in the NFL, a beat up division where, you know, there may not be an excellent team that emerges, and they may just throttle them in the ACC championship game. So here are two teams that could be going into the playoff on two totally different notes. Clemson could be cruising in after an early slate of tough games and then softens it up by the time they get to the playoff, and Alabama will be the exact opposite, where they will be playing some easier manageable opponents up until they get to the latter part of their season when they play LSU, a good Mississippi State team, Auburn that could be, you know, obviously the rivalry game is tough no matter where Auburn would be ranked, but then you play an SEC title game against a heavily ranked opponent before you get into the playoff. So that was a major observation by how people analyze this. But once again, this is all just marketing. This is all just the idea that now you can put the number next to the team and all of a sudden now you have better and more interesting matchups than you did before. Miami versus Florida coming up on Saturday is now not Miami, Florida. It is now Miami versus number 8, Florida. And that has something more of an interest, right? So that's basically how, you know, what it's for. So now you can start looking at the games coming up this weekend and start finding those matchups that are like, oh, this is really interesting. I now see how these, you know, how the season is starting. I can now look at top 25 matchups and I can say, oh, this is what I like, or these are games that are piquing my interest, where maybe before you just learned that, well, that's not really my region. I really don't know much about that team, but they have a little number next to them, so it matters. But one other thing from the rankings, and I know, again, it doesn't really matter because the committee will have a final say on this, and the committee has sometimes said, we don't care what the coaches think, we don't care what the AP thinks, this team is not as good or not as important as we think. And that is, where is UCF? Now, UCF is going to be the fly in the ointment. We're waiting for the break of some non-Power 5 conference team getting into the playoffs. Right? There's just certain things in sports that you don't feel will ever happen, but someday they will happen, right? One, you know, we never thought a 16 would beat a 1, then finally a 16 beat a 1 in the basketball tournament. Can a non-Power 5 conference team make and break into this tournament? Going undefeated, looking sharp in all of their games, and also saying, you know what? They are as good as Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, whoever you want to put into that college football playoff. Will there ever be a time when we will look at a team like UCF and or anybody? I don't really care. It could be anybody. The Boise States back when it was just 1 versus 2 and put them in this college football playoff. Well, if you're just wondering about this year, they are ranked 17th. Now, they have Brandon Wimbush at quarterback, who's taken over for the quarterback last year that suffered a busted leg, Mackenzie Milton. Now, it's in all likelihood UCF will look the part again. That's basically, you know, the way it's kind of playing out on paper, in all likelihood, they will look the part again. But I also wonder how much of the rankings could be influential in the way they are perceived by the committee. Now, the committee prides itself on not dealing with rankings or not looking at rankings as a determining factor as to how they view the teams. They like the idea of, we all sit in a room, we're watching all these games, we're studying all the statistics, we're studying all the trends. We know these teams as well as anybody else in the country, if not better than anybody else in the country. So you may say UCF coaches poll, you know, they're 17, and AP, you may say they're 17, but in our world, they're not. They're 25th or 27th or 28th or 20th or whatever it is. As the season progresses, if UCF does start climbing and they start getting a lot of respect, and let's say there are some setbacks to some of the teams at the top. Maybe Michigan doesn't have a pretty good year. Florida doesn't fare particularly well. Oklahoma struggles a bit and loses a game, whatever it is. If UCF is climbing up and gets into the top 10 and gets into the top 5, that's a big if. But does the committee go, yeah, you know what? We think the same thing about them. It's an interesting situation.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, so good, the bad, the dumb for a Tuesday. Let's get the good.
The good is, you probably saw this going on. There's a little bit of a chicken sandwich war going on.
I did. I saw this, and I'm kind of interested in participating.
I think the only surefire way to do this, like for you and I, is just to go out and try each and every one.
I think you're right.
But it all started with Chick-fil-A tweeting out, you know, their basic chicken sandwich was just chicken, pickle, plus equals love or something like that. And so Popeyes decided that, you know what, we got some words about it. Obviously, Chick-fil-A's was bun plus chicken plus pickles equals all the love for the original. And then Popeyes tweeted out, y'all good?
Yeah, so what is Popeyes putting on theirs?
No, Popeyes is just saying that, you know, just trying to say that their chicken sandwich is better than...
Right, but are they adding anything different?
Well, this all comes in a wake at a report came out last week, I think towards the end of last week, that Chick-fil-A was going to make their sandwiches a little smaller.
Oh, okay. Okay, all right. Now, hold on.
There's a little backstory to that that's not being mentioned in the Chicken Wars.
Yeah, don't be messing around with that.
Yeah, we're Americans. We don't want anything smaller.
Don't go cheap on me, Dotson. All right?
Exactly.
Uh-uh.
So, but the outlier of obviously is Wendy's. Not really known for a chicken place, but they're getting into the chicken sandwich game. And we all know Wendy's has a great social media team.
Yeah, they do.
So Wendy's fired back at Popeyes. Y'all are to both of them. It's like you're all out here fighting about which of these fools has the second best chicken sandwich.
Ah, well done.
Then Popeyes responds, sounds like someone just ate one of our biscuits because y'all looking thirsty.
Ah.
Wendy's not to be outdone. Laugh out loud. Guess that means the food's as dry as the jokes.
Ooh.
So
we're in a real fast food war here.
Like I said, there's two ways to settle it. One, you just got to go out. We need to go out and just try every single sandwich and determine which best. Or two, price war.
Yeah, exactly. I might try that Popeye sandwich.
Yeah, I know. I thought about that too.
Yeah. I like chicken sandwiches.
So do I.
I like them a little too much.
They need to, but are you just regular or spicy?
Regular, but I'm good for a spicy every now and then.
Yeah, you got to go spicy.
Yeah. So that's good. I'm glad they're having fun.
Yeah, we got a chicken war.
Yeah, that's good. That is good. I'm glad they're having a good time. That's you should. This isn't all serious.
No, just have some fun.
Have some fun with it.
And then, you know, slash the prices so we can all get into the act.
That's very true. Exactly. Exactly. I mean,
you know, the price of the medical bill we'll have after firing down three of your sandwiches will totally make up for the price that we saved on buying those three sandwiches.
That's right. That is right. All right. Well, then what's the bad?
The bad of the day is that we're going to die in 10 years.
Oh, God. Again?
Yep.
Don't tell me it's robots.
No, it's not robots. It's other great sci-fi thing where we need to send Bruce Willis and a team up into space.
Oh, no, an asteroid is coming?
The colossal god of chaos, a.k.a. Apophis, will be flying by Earth 10 years from now, traveling at 25,000 miles per hour.
That is uncomprehensible.
Yeah, now, it's not supposed to hit us, but it could, you know, anything could happen. You know, it could all of a sudden just decide to, you know, spin its way towards us.
Right.
But the asteroid will pass within 19,000 miles above the Earth's surface.
That's way too close.
How close is that, you say? Most satellites orbit 22,236 miles from the planet.
Okay, so I remember one of these movies, and I can't remember which one, where one of the speckles from the big asteroid knocked out, like, the space station or something.
Yeah.
Like, in the opening credits.
I think that was Deep Impact.
Was that Deep Impact?
I think so.
Okay. So that now that because, is very scary.
Yeah, because Armageddon was the guy found it in a telescope.
That's right.
And
then
he wanted
he died.
To call it Dottie.
Right. He wanted to call it Dottie because it was going to wipe out mankind. Yep. So, yeah. He
wanted to name it after his wife.
That's right. And then what was the kid's name? Elijah
Wood. That was Deep Impact. Yeah,
that was Deep Impact. This is, and then Armageddon. Right. Armageddon was the oil drillers.
Yes.
Okay. Now, please forgive me for not remembering these movies as well as I should. Deep Impact was the astronauts went up with Robert Duvall and Jon Favreau, and they were going to plant a device, and then they ended up sacrificing themselves.
Yep.
Right. Okay. And then Armageddon was Bruce Willis, Ben Affleck, Steve Buscemi.
The whole crew.
Going up. And they were, we shouldn't even be here. Yep. Yeah.
And it was drilling.
Right. The drilling. Okay. So, do you think the president will come on it, who's ever the president at the time, and go, we will build a series of caves in the Missouri mountains?
Maybe they already started.
Maybe they already have started.
And maybe they're just coming out and saying, you know, yeah, no, don't worry. It's going to pass by. You'll see it with the naked eye.
Can you keep that a secret? Yeah, can you keep that a secret? If you found the asteroid and you knew it was coming to Earth, one, do you think the government would know ahead of time and then they would go to you and say, you are not telling a soul?
I would say no, except the movie 2012.
Okay.
That was the one. That was the one with John Cusack.
If I remember correctly, and again, you can correct me, because you have a good memory with movies, man.
Yes.
You really, really remember your movies.
I like
movies
my disaster films.
Yes. Same with my wife. She watches these over and over again. Is that the one where all the rich people had a special pager that went off when it was like, board now? And they left whatever they were doing because they all knew
and paid special
money to get on these arcs.
And this is what I'm thinking. If this asteroid is a true global killer, like people are predicting,
right?
Then it doesn't, you know, we don't need to build mountains or tunnels in the Missouri mountains or in the Colorado Rockies or anything like that. Because I think that would get noticed.
Right.
All of a sudden, a bunch of guys are hired away. And they're like, what are they drilling in the Colorado Rockies for?
But, and why is it all military that's doing that?
But 2012, they had China doing it.
Yeah.
Now, no one knows what's going on in China. The only thing we know what's going on in China right now is they're having a clash with Hong Kong.
That's true.
And that's all we know.
That's all we know.
I mean, that could be a ruse to building. We need to get everything kind of situated in China, and then we're going to move all the peoples there.
I thought the ending of Deep Impact, if all you had to do was get to the top of the mountain, then you should have been there at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Those
parents were lazy.
They literally sat there and they were like, go, go, go. And they gave the baby. Then when they should be like, honey, you know, I know we're a little older, but if we just keep running, we might actually get to the top of that hill.
Could outrun this thing.
We might be able to just get to the top of the hill, and then we could survive with our children. How about that? Instead of standing here admitting that we're going to die and then kissing one final time, why don't we actually put the pedal to the metal and actually start running up this hill?
Yeah. Now, I mean, you know what? You remember Tia Leone's character when she was with her dad on the beach.
Yeah.
They had no chance.
They had no chance.
And hopefully it was instant.
Yeah, because she gave up her seat on the helicopter for the other woman and the baby.
Yes.
Remember that? Oh, God.
Well, that was very noble of her.
That asteroid is getting too close.
So, yeah, the asteroid will be here 10 years from now. Apparently, you could see it with the naked eye over Australia. That'll be the best viewing area over Australia. So it'll probably just wipe out the South Pole.
I'd like to ask a scientist real quick before we move on to the dumb portion of the day. Yeah. Will the heat of I don't know how space works.
You know what? You talk about it all the time. Like, if the moon has a gravitational pull to make waves,
right?
What would be an asteroid flying by the Earth in between the Earth and the moon?
Yeah, right.
That's got to do something to the waves, right? Or at least to the clouds. Are we all going to, you know, just, is it going to be a weird mood for
right.
us?
Right. By the way, and I'm going to take you back to the 1980s. Those of you on Twitter, you're going to thank me for this. Trust me, guys, you're going to thank me for this. There used to be a cartoon when I was a kid called Thundar the Barbarian. Mm. All right. Now, if you look up if you go to YouTube and you look up the opening credits for Thundar the Barbarian, the cartoon started. This was a Saturday morning cartoon where an asteroid passed right between the Earth and the moon. And it split the moon apart. And it caused all these disasters on Earth, and then we kind of went back to, like, prehistoric times. And that's where Thundar the Barbarian came to fruition. There was like new creatures and all that stuff over like that's and that's how it started. The moon cracked. And now I have that in my head from my Saturday morning cartoons that if an asteroid got too close, something bad was going to happen. It just wasn't going to fly by and not do anything. It was going to do something.
Right.
It's flying by at 25,000 miles an hour.
It's cruising.
It's cruising. It's going to pull something, right? Like, you're going to wake up and go, whoa, that didn't feel good. What's going on here?
Maybe we'll have big lasers out there at the time that could shoot it out of the sky and create a really awesome shooting star meteor shower.
Thundar the Barbarian. Look it up. Thundar the Barbarian. All right.
I'm going to do that now.
Yeah, do that now. Trust me. You're going to love it.
The dumb of the day. There's a town in Wales. Oh, you know, over there across the pond,
Yes.
They are installing $200,000 anti-sex toilets.
What?
These toilets, when detecting inappropriate behavior, will sound an alarm, spray cold water, and open the doors.
That is awesome.
So, you know what? But you have to wonder, I mean, if they're going to such extremes as this, $200,000 is not cheap. How much of a problem is...
I don't think this is an issue.
Is this... No,
is this really a problem?
I mean, it's a $200,000 problem.
That's crazy. Now, I'd like to know the technology behind this. How does it determine that there is going on in the bathroom?
Because if you... I mean, right. The first thought that went through my mind is, what if that's not happening?
Right.
And you're just, you're having to squirm a little bit, as what if one does from time to time in a public restroom.
And what if you're in there just reading a magazine and you've been in there way too long and it says, well, there's can't be the natural reason why he's in there. There's got to be a much longer reason why he's in there.
Or, you know, is it does it detect noises, sound?
Yeah.
And you make some people may make a weird sound when doing their business.
That's interesting.
I'm just thinking, like, if it's a solo person who's just trying to get through his job, you know, all of a sudden you're soaking wet, alarms are sounding, and the bathroom door's flung open, and there you are, vulnerable.
They've created another problem here. And here's the problem. You know that there are going to be couples that are going to say, let's get caught with the anti-sex toilet. We don't care.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? Like, we don't care. We don't care if the door is open and the alarm goes off. We don't care. We're voyeuristic. We don't care if people see us. We're going to do it anyway. We're going to put it on our bucket list. We want to get caught by the anti-sex toilet. We want the alarms to sound and the doors to open. We don't care. And then it becomes a trend. And then more and more people will do it. More and more people want to be part of that club. And then you've created a problem that you thought you were solving, but instead made it worse.
Or what if it becomes like, you know, one of these social media things, anti-sex toilet challenge?
That's right. Oh, exactly.
Where you try to do it and not get caught.
Right, exactly.
So it just becomes hashtag anti-sex toilet challenge.
Very cool. That's a great point. So now you've created a bigger issue, right? So you should have consulted with Ron and I first before you invested $200,000 in something that is now just going to be a big fad.
And honestly, Wales, I mean, how much sex is being had in public toilets?
That's what I want to know.
$200,000 is a lot of money.
And if so, are you all living with your parents? I mean, how is this working?
Does no one have a flat of their own?
Exactly. There's no hotel rooms. You don't live by yourself. What is going on?
Couldn't find a nice park bench.
Your cars are too small. What's going on there? All right. I mean, please tell me what's going on that is becoming the new thing.
That's the only option. Because, I mean, I remember the last time I went into a public toilet and thought, you know what would be really fun in here?
Yeah, right?
God.
This is so clean and nice. Exactly. This is a perfect spot for me and my mate. Oh, God. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb for a Tuesday on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
Now you got me all worried.
Did you see Thundar the Barbarian? Yeah. Okay, that was a cartoon.
The moon in half?
Yep, that was a cartoon from 1980, 79, 80.
Yeah.
Here was the scary part. I was a little kid, and I remember watching it. And the year that they predicted this, like they said, in the year 1994.
Yeah.
Was when they threw it out there.
Maybe it did happen.
And they said
we're
this,
just in an alternate reality now.
So the opening credits to this Saturday morning cartoon was an asteroid was zipping between the Earth and the moon. Its gravitational pull split the moon in half, and it caused natural disasters on Earth. And I kid you not, they had a cartoon of a tsunami burying a city,
yep.
Volcanoes
and earthquakes
just blowing up, earthquakes, and everything was dead. And then new creatures arose after 2,000 years.
Like Earth went dormant for 2,000 years?
Yeah, yeah. And then all these creatures started coming up, and then Thundar would fight them, and you know, that's how it worked. And you're a kid going, oh, boy. That's not that. If you were smart enough to do mental math, you're like, 1994, wait a minute. And you're a kid. You don't know this is not true. This is just a story. Probably thinking it's going to happen. And every asteroid that comes by, like, look, Halley's Comet. You're thinking Thundar the Barbarian if you watch that show. So it was but it was a good cartoon. It was a fun cartoon. But that's what I always think about whenever I hear something too close to the Earth. My childhood kicks in, and I think about the moon splitting in half in that cartoon. And I keep thinking to myself, okay, I'm smart enough now to know that that's probably not going to happen. But the idea of an asteroid getting close to the Earth, some bad things have got to happen, right?
Right? Something.
Something. It just can't fly by.
Yeah.
And we go, hi. If it's that close, yeah, it's going to be something. And
maybe it's good. Maybe it takes all the smog away.
Maybe so. That's
right.
Know. It doesn't necessarily mean bad. I shouldn't say that. Actually, it could be good things.
Probably not, but it could. It,
unlikely. Normally would be bad stuff. All right, coming up, we'll focus on the Titans and our NFL previews next.